Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know what, Norma? I just love how God does these things. I had totally forgotten. Do you guys remember a couple of months ago when I was preaching on healing and I shared with you how I had fallen on my motorcycle and hit my arm real hard on a rock or something, and I had done something to a nerve in my arm, and I was having these little weird things going up and down my arm? That has been totally gone now for probably a month. I have not felt any of that. Those symptoms are completely, totally gone. Because that was David and Leanne prayed for me that Sunday they were here. They laid hands on my arm and prayed for God to heal all that. That thing's not, I forgot. You know how it just quits hurting? You don't think about it. But then when you just said that about hitting your elbow, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I did that too. See, he's no respecter of persons. He'll heal a good-looking black lady and an ugly white guy. He don't care. He doesn't care. He's not moved by what he sees on the outside. He's moved by our hearts, right? Expectant faith. We talked about that, right? To receive healing, you need expectant faith toward God that he's who he says he is, and he loves you, and he wants good for you. Yeah, you have to approach him in that way with faith. And when you do, you'll be just like the woman with the issue of blood where he said, daughter, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Yes, it's his provision, but it's our faith drawing on that provision. Yes, praise God. Man, it's a good day. We could go home right now and we'd be blessed, but we're not going because then I wouldn't get to talk. And so y'all know I got to talk, so. Okay, so today we're going to do some army stuff. Where's my army people? Those of you that are new to us, I'm a retired army guy, so I like army stuff. Army stuff preaches really good. All right, so today, I'll pray again in just a second. The title of my message is God's Army, Be, No, Do. And if you know anything about army leadership, that is the framework for army leadership, is be, no, do, right? And so it was interesting. I heard a message. Well, let me pray first, and then I'll just get into that. Lord, thank you, 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 Lord, for loving us like you do. You're so amazing, Father. Your goodness, God, is just beyond our imagination how good you are to us, Lord. How well you provide for us, how you protect us, how you guard us, how you deliver us, Lord, how you redeem us, how you restore us, how you heal us, Father. We're just so thankful that we know you, God. I mean, it's like we've won the lottery 100 times over because we've given our hearts to you, Jesus, and the work that you're doing in our lives, God, because you love us so much. It's just mind-boggling. And so we're just so thankful, Lord. We can never say thank you enough. And God, we just come right now to your word with reverence because your word is you talking to us. And then Holy Spirit, we know that you are the teacher and that you come to teach us the word, to reveal all truth to us, to lead us into all truth and to show us the things to come, to remind us of everything that Jesus said, to give us revelation, revealed knowledge of God. And so we thank you, Father, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened in this very moment, that we would know the hope of your calling, that we would know what is the glory of the inheritance that we have in the saints, and the greatness of the working of your power toward us who believe. Oh, we thank you, Father, that you're doing all these miraculous, marvelous things on our behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I don't know if you guys have heard of Pastor Robert Morris. He is the lead pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas. It's a little small church, has 8,000 or 10,000 members, something like that. 4 or 5 campuses, I don't know. It's a small work that God's doing there. But this guy is just anointed of God. I've led a small group study of a book he wrote called Truly Free about being delivered from demonic influence and control in our lives. And it's been amazing. We've done 2 iterations of that. And that's how I kind of found out about him. But then I was watching you know how it is, you say somebody's name and all of a sudden stuff about them shows up in your feed, but your phone's not listening to you, right? Yeah. But I, honestly, I think it was probably because I've been on their website and I've bought books from them and things like that. So now on my Facebook feed, I start getting these little reels of him teaching the Word of God. And he was just teaching this week, and he was talking about just being, right? And that's really what kind of pushed me toward this be, no, do thing, because I went back to my old Army days and I thought, oh, no, I know all about that be thing. That's the first part of the leadership framework of the Army is be, no, do. And then the Lord showed me, he goes, no, you know what? That's not the Army's framework. That's my framework. They stole that from me. Because there's nothing new under the sun. And everything, how many of you know everything begins with God? Everything good begins with God. Yes. And even the bad that there is, it's out of rebellion toward the good of God. You understand that too, right? Everything the devil's trying to do in the earth, everything bad that comes at us from the world system is it's anti-Christ. It's against Christ. But it's because Christ already established what is the truth. And then, of course, the devil is the father of all lies. Anytime he speaks, it's a lie because he's the father of lies. He can only lie, right? But what he does do is he twists the truth. He always wants to twist God's word. He always asks that question, did God say? Remember, that was what he asked Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, the very first time he interacted with human beings. The first question he asked was, did God really say? And he's still asking that question today. He is challenging God's word and God's truth in our life every day. And so that's what that's all about. But so when I was listening to Pastor Morris this week, though, it was the coolest thing. So he was talking about Adam and Eve in that deal right there when the serpent came and he deceived her, right? And she ate, and then Adam ate, and then sin entered the world, right? And they died spiritually, and God had to put them out of the garden. Their fellowship with him was broken. But this was the coolest thing he said. And I wish that I could take credit for this because it's one of the coolest things I ever heard. But I'm just giving full attribution to Pastor Robert Morris that he said this. But he said, you know, there was those two trees in the middle of the garden. There was the tree of eternal life, right? And that's why God put them out of the garden, because he didn't want them to eat that after they were in sin. He didn't want them to eat that and be able to live forever. However that works, we don't understand all that, but that's okay. We just faith it, right? He said it, so we just accept it because that's what he said. But there was this other tree, and that tree was the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't just the knowledge of evil. It was also the knowledge of good. And what Pastor Morris said was, he goes, do you realize God never wanted us to know evil? He never wanted us to be able to recognize evil. Now, hang on to this part. He also didn't want us to know good. Because it was the knowledge of good and evil. Here's what God wanted. God wanted us to just walk with him and talk with him and listen to him and do what he said. He wanted us to know him. He never wanted us to know the difference between good and evil. He just wanted us to know him, be intimate with him, walk with him, and obey him, and just do what he said. Because is he going to lead you into evil? Of course not. He's going to always lead you into good, so you would get to live the good. You just wouldn't even know that's what it was. You'd just be living it, right? But isn't that an amazing thing? Boy, that had to be by the Holy Spirit. I thought, man, as many times as I've read that story and thought about that, that thought never crossed my mind. But he said what God wanted us to do was be. And then I love this part. He said, but we get hung up in the doing. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And he said, but here's the thing. We're not called human doings. We're called human beings. Because what God's intent for us is for us to just be, right? And then out of us being flows the doing. Yeah? All right, so with all that in mind, that's kind of what got me going down this whole trail right here. So I just thought, man, this is a cool model. I think there's a couple of things we can take from this that'll help us. All right, so the U.S. Army, I'm going to brag on my boys and girls a little bit. It's one of the largest, most successful organizations in the world. More than 1 million people are in the Army. That's a big company. if you're thinking of it that terms. And our army prides itself on having the best leaders, commanding the best soldiers, with the best equipment and the best weapons on planet Earth, bar none. And believe me, our potential enemies out there, they know that. And that's what keeps them in check, because they do not want to take us on a battlefield. Trust me when I tell you, it's not going to end well for them. Yeah? And so that's a great sense of security that gives to our people, to know that we have this army, a standing army that's there to protect us, right? That's a good thing. And so for us to have that type of harmony, though, the army's success always begins with professional, competent leaders. And I know every one of us that I spent 33 years in the United States Army, I can name some incompetent, unprofessional leaders that I had to put up with, right? And who knows, some of my soldiers might look at me and go, yeah, that Malone, he was one of those. Hard to say. I'm not going to ask that question. I'm just going to pretend that none of them would ever say that, and it's all good, right? But you get my point. But yeah, the whole organization hinges on leadership. You've got to have competent, professional people of integrity, people of honor, people of character. You got to have that in your leadership to be successful. And that's why our army has been as successful as it is, because we have great leaders. And so if you go to a field manual, we call them FMs, and that's old school. FM, now they're like ADPs and ATPs, and they've changed the names of them. They try to confuse us old guys. But it's field manuals. FM 22100 is leadership. And so there's a leadership framework in there, and it's called be, no, do. That is the framework for Army leadership. Be, no, do. And then I got to thinking about that, and I was just, like I said, meditating this week on that whole thing. And the Lord said, no, that's my model. Let me show you where you can find it. So you want me to show you? Okay, it's in the Bible. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Yeah, who knew? Who knew that the greatest leadership framework and most successful leadership framework of any army that's ever been, the greatest army that's ever been, started with God? Okay, so there's the first verse. All right, so this is talking about Jesus in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. It says, and he went up on the mountain and he called to himself those he wanted, and they came to him. Now, here's the model. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, right? That he might send them out to preach. That's the no part. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. So he wanted them to be with him. So that's the be part. Then he wanted to instruct them in the principles, in the doctrine, in the theology of God's kingdom so that they could preach. That's the know part. And then to do, which was the miracles, signs, and wonders. That was the doing part. Isn't that cool? So there's be, no, do right there. So as much as I love the army, they didn't originate be, no, do. God did. Okay, so now let's look at it. Let's start out with be. Okay, if you look in FM 22100 leadership, that be talks about character, personal character, integrity, honor, all that. And so the army, you know, in the army, we have a name for everything, and everything can be made into an acronym. And it's a great tool because it helps us remember things, right? And so we have this group of values called the Army values. And it spells out the word leadership. Yep. And so it's loyalty, duty, respect. That's the leader, LDR. It's kind of abbreviated, right? But it's a great little tool for us remembering. So loyalty, duty, respect, that's leader. And then selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. Ship, leadership. Isn't that cool? So leadership consists of those things: loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, personal courage. All right? And you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. We could adopt that for the church, couldn't we? You could, but you don't have to. Because once again, God already has a thing for that. Yeah? I love how God always has a thing for that, whatever that is that you're trying to figure out. God has a thing for that. He has an app for that. It's called the Bible, right? Okay, so for Christians, character is also at the heart of being who God called us to be, right? In order to be, we have to have God's character, right? And we know this because, and God knows our heart is evil above all things, the Bible says. And so he takes out this heart of, quote, stone, the Bible says, and he puts a heart of flesh in us. And then the incredible thing is, and this is one place where we have an advantage over what soldiers have, is the Holy Spirit himself, God himself, comes and lives on the inside of us. So you have a personal trainer, mentor, who lives inside of you 24/7, 365. Well, no soldier has that. They might have access to one, but try calling them at 2 o'clock in the morning when things are going sideways, and you're going to call your mentor. Yeah, hey, Colonel Smith, this is Howie, and I'm having a problem, and I need some advice. And he's going to say, yeah, here's some advice. Hang up the phone and call me during duty hours, youngster. That's kind of how we do it in the Army. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. But see, at 2 o'clock in the morning when everything's going sideways, you can just say, Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yeah. And he goes, yes. I wasn't sleeping like you. I'm standing by. I'm the standby, right? That's who he is. He's my standby. Yeah. And so that list, you know, where we have the leadership, the Army values, which are the parts that that's where we use that as sort of a framework for our character to hang our character on, right, as we develop good character. But for the Christian, our character attributes are called the fruit of the Spirit. See, God already had that in line way before the Army came along. And so it consists of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those nine things. And the Word even goes on and says, there's no law against any of those. So you're allowed to have those. Nobody's going to combat you and say, you got too much love. You need to shut that down. You're too joyful. Shut it down. Now, I will say, I've seen some people that were a little too joyful and they needed to shut it down. Just needed to shut it down a little bit. And they maybe not shut it down, just turn it down. Right? Because that's getting all over me over here and you need to stop. But you get my point. But yeah, see, we have the fruit of the Spirit. And so now, here's the cool thing. So while the soldier leader has to develop his character through study, self-discipline, and through his experiences, again, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and he develops the fruit. The fruit are called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Howie. But see, this is where a lot of Christians get messed up. We think, well, I have to develop self-control. I have to develop patience. I have to develop confidence, or not confidence, gentleness. I have to develop kindness. I have to develop my own joy. I have to generate joy. I have to generate peace. No, you can't do that anyway. Anybody ever tried to do that? That doesn't work. All you do is agitate yourself and everybody else around you. Yeah? But the Holy Spirit, when he comes inside of us, and he makes his home there. All we have to do is focus on the B, right? If you'll focus on the B, he will develop the character in you. And he changes us over time. He is transforming us into the image of Jesus. Because Jesus was all of these things, right? God is love, right? And so the very first attribute of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I love this. You know, I've heard different people. I've heard so many different teachings and different analogies and write-ups about the fruit of the Spirit. But I heard a guy just this week, and he just said it the best way I've ever heard it said. He said, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. And I'd never really heard anybody say it that way. And he said, no, look, there's only one fruit. But he said, that fruit, now he didn't say it this way. I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to inject my own little Howie-ism into it. It's kind of like rainbow sherbet. Because rainbow sherbet is the rainbow, right? So you got all those different flavors, but they're in one box, aren't they? So you get a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one, a little bit of that one. All you have to do is take your spoon and just scoop it across there, and you get some of all of the flavors that are in there, right? And so it's not like, well, Holy Spirit, this week I'm going to focus on kindness. Next week I'm going to focus on joy. The week after that I'm going to focus on peace. No, it's one fruit, but it's rainbow sherbet. It's some of all of that. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. It's every one of those nine, and it's like it's a casserole, and it's just cooking. I must be hungry. I'm fucking all this food stuff, right? And now you're all like, man, now we're hungry. Thanks a lot. But that's okay. Lunch is coming. But you see what I'm saying, right? You get that picture? It just all grows together. You don't have to focus. That's our problem, is we try to focus on fixing ourselves when what we need to do is focus on being. Jesus said, when we read that scripture over there in Mark 13, or chapter 3, verse 13, it said, and he went up on the mountain and he called them to him. And they came. And then it said, he appointed them to be with him. And see, if we will just focus on Jesus, if we will just spend more time with him, if we will just make him a priority, if we will just ask him first before we try 14 other courses of action that don't work, and then we say, well, it's come to this, I guess I better pray. Guilty. Guilty. How many times have I done that? Right? None of you ever do that, but man, sometimes I'm just like, dude, why didn't you just pray first? Right? We're all subject to that because we think, oh, it's a little thing. I got it, God. Yeah, you got it until it gets all over you. And then all of a sudden it's like, God, do you have some handy wipes available right now? Some Holy Ghost handy wipes? Because I have messed myself all up here. Right? I know none of you have ever done that, but I'm just using myself, you know, as an example of how it can go sideways. But yeah, that's how the fruit of the Spirit works. He's the one developing. And you know, I've used this analogy before. When you see an apple tree, what kind of fruit does an apple tree produce? Apples, right? Have you ever walked by an apple tree and seen it standing there like this going, hink! Trying to get the apples to come out? No, what does it do? It just bees. It just bees an apple tree, right? And it pulls nutrients from the dirt. It thrives off of its environment. It pulls nutrients from the dirt. Oh, y'all, that's good right there. I didn't even know how good that was till I just said that. I love the Holy Spirit. Because I never even thought of that in my whole life. And I just went, it's you pull from your environment. I'm like, oh, that's exactly what we do too, isn't it? Good or bad. That's, you know, Jesus even used that about the seed. He said there was the stony ground and the, right? And there was the thorns and the worries of life. And there was all that stuff. And there was the hard heart, couldn't receive the word. But then there was the good ground. And the good ground received the word and produced a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. And that's what God wants to do in our life. And listen, here's another one. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Because you do realize Jesus said that on purpose. He said some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. So listen, even in the kingdom of God, there are some 30 fold people. There's some 60 fold people. There's some 100 fold people. You understand that? Don't judge yourself about it against anybody else. Maybe you're a 30-fold person. You remember Jesus talked about when the talents. He gave one guy five. He gave another guy two. He gave another guy one. Why didn't he give them all five? Because then it would have been really easy to compare. No, I'll tell you why. Because he already knew. That's a five-talent guy. That's a two-talent guy. That's a one-talent guy. So I'm going to give them. I don't want the one-talent guy to blow himself up trying to figure out what to do with five because that's too much for him. Are you with me? And a lot of times we're a one-talent person and we're looking at the five-talent person going, God, why can't I have the five talents? And then instead of managing the one, we're upset. I almost said something I shouldn't have said. We're upset because God didn't give us the five and we want the five and we don't know why we didn't get the five. It's because you can't handle the five. If God gave you the five, that's like these, no Christian, listen to what I'm saying to you right now. No Christian should be playing the lottery or the little scratch thingamabobs at the gas station and all that, saying, well, I'm just going to win this and then I'm going to give half of it to the church. No, you won't. You won't do that. What will happen is that will wreck you, because I can already tell you, if you're even playing that, it's because you're not where you think you should be financially, and you're trying to get there through hook or crook, and you're already stretched way out over the cliff and your rope is fraying. You should be taking that money and investing it, just like Jesus told the one talent guy. Boy, I don't know why I'm talking about this. This ain't got nothing to do with that, but it's got something to do with somebody in this room. Somebody in this room needs to hear this right now. I'm telling you, you need to do it God's way. The Bible talk, go read the book of Proverbs. It talks all about wealth gained quickly is a trap. But through faithful, continued, consistent serving and working and saving and investing, that's where prosperity comes from. That's how you are successful financially, not by winning the ding-dong lottery. Do you have any idea how many lottery winners commit suicide? I don't remember the exact number, but I read an article about it once, and it was staggering to me. It was like half of them end up committing suicide. Because they get millions of dollars, and one, they don't know how to manage it. They didn't earn it. And then the whole wide world descends on them. I'm your long-lost cousin Lulu, and I need $50,000 for this thing over there. And the line never ends. It's just people are lined up around the street, just beating on them. I want. Give me. And they don't know what to do. It ruins their whole life. I knew I'd get a lot of hallelujahs and amens and stuff on that part. But man, y'all, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Day's work for a day's pay. Yes. Yes. Day's work for a day's pay. Just be diligent in your work. God promotes faithfulness. Show up for work every day. With some of that joy, peace, love stuff we've talked about. Bring some of that with you to your workplace. They'll not only want to keep you around, they will promote you.
That's right.
Yep. Don't be that whiny, gripey one. Well, the manager don't know what they're doing. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. And if it's that bad that you can't hang, go somewhere else. As my little brother used to say so famously, I was looking for a job when I found this one. That's the way he does it. He's just like, hey, if it ain't working for me. And he's a believer. He's a spirit-filled believer. He loves God. He loves people. He's a good man. But man, and that's happened to him once or twice. He got in an environment, in a job. I don't know why I'm talking about this stuff this morning. He got in an environment, in a job, where it was an unholy thing. He looked at his bosses and he realized, whoa, these are not men of integrity. They were lying. They were cheating on their taxes. They were embezzling money. And he got high enough in the structure where he saw that. And he had gone.
Oh, he's calling you.
Please silence all your devices. Dadgummit. I always silence that thing every Sunday, too.
Anyway, he had to go.
No, but anyway, he just got to a point, he said, man, I got to go. And they loved him. And they were talking about promoting him again. They had promoted him once, and he got up in the kind of the leadership area, and he got to see behind the curtain, so to speak. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he got to see it. And you know what? Church is the same way, y'all. Let me tell you something. You get around, you stay in church long enough, and you're faithful enough, you're going to get promoted. You get promoted, you'll get in a leadership position. You get in a leadership position, you're going to get close to the pastors and the higher-up leaders. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out what I already know. I am not perfect by a long stretch. And then what's going to happen is, if you're not careful, you will put Melanie and I on a pedestal, like we're the perfect Jesus people or some crazy thing like that. And then when you see us be a real human being, you're going to get offended and you're going to quit church and you're going to leave and the devil's going to win. Because we're not perfect. There's no perfect pastors. There's no perfect church. If there was a perfect church, it quit being one when you came in the door. And I'm talking about me. I'm really not talking about you. I just like to say that. Right? Okay. Where in the world was I? Be no do. Doggone it. Okay, so let's talk about no. Oh, I'm out of time, aren't I? That's never happened before. Ted, come, that went fast. Goodness gracious. Y'all got an extra half an hour or so? No, we don't, because we have to go over there for the other thing. All right, let me just hit this real quick and we'll go. Okay, so no, the second attribute in the leadership framework is the same for soldier leaders and Christians. And that's this, y'all. Knowing involves education and training. Education and training. That's what knowing is all about. And we kind of hit on that. Remember Jesus said he wanted them what? Be with me. Number two, go out and preach. Well, when you go out to preach, you got to have a message, right? So to have a message, that means you had to do some study and you had to do some learning. You got to have some information. You got to have some facts, right? So that's what the whole no thing is all about, that. And it's the same for us. So soldier leaders, they have a succession of professional schools that they go through throughout their careers, whether they're a non-commissioned officer or a commissioned officer. We go through schooling at certain gateways to be promoted to the next level. You have to go through a certain school. Yeah. And then that's how that works. And then you prove yourself in training. Then they give you an experiences at that level. And when you prove yourself competent, you get promoted. And what we say at every Army promotion ceremony is we say, we are not promoting you for what you have done. We are promoting you for the potential you have to operate at a higher level. That's what promotion's about. Well, God's the same way. God wants you to prove yourself out right where you are. Right where you are. Not where you want to be, not where you think you ought to be, but we just be faithful, be diligent, serve God with the joy of the Lord, right? Be a blessing to your leaders. Show up early. When you're on the schedule, be there. Don't look for a reason to not be there. Don't be this one that goes, oh, well, that's okay. My leader will step in and take my place. I just don't feel, I'm just not feeling it this Sunday morning. I'm just going to stay home. I'll watch online. It'll all be good. No, that's not good. That's called you just threw your leader under the bus. And if you do that enough, you will not get promoted. I'm just telling you. Because what will happen is people will say, because listen, this is what God, write this down. God promotes faithfulness. Faithfulness, that's what he promotes. Above everything else, faithfulness. You can have the best gift in the world, but if you're not faithful, no one's going to want you on their team because they can't count on you to be there. Take your super duper mega gift and just go on down the pike. If that's how you're going to be. Man, I'm getting redneck this morning. This is awesome. Melanie just goes, you are. Thank you, baby. I'll just keep on then. Because, you know, it takes a redneck to know a redneck, so. She'll tell you, you think I'm red. I'm pink compared, no.
Moving on.
Y'all, I'm in so much trouble right now. It's unbelievable. Me and Mr. Sox will be out in the garage tonight. It's going to be good. There's a reason I have two dog beds out in the garage and not just one. Kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. Why do y'all do this to me? Education and training. That's what I was trying to talk about. But we have to gain knowledge and we have to prepare ourselves to move to the next level. And that's true of any person that's looking for leadership. And y'all, hey, listen. And I thought about this too. I'm talking about leadership here. And you might think, well, I'm just a church member. I'm just Joe the church member, or I'm Sally the church member. No, we are all leaders. Do you understand me? Because what do we say We have these little churchisms that we say, but one of the things we say when we engage with a lost person out there in the world who does not know Jesus, and we want to talk to them about Jesus, and we want them to come to Jesus, do you know what we call that? We call that leading them to Christ. Isn't that what we call it? I grew up calling it that. Oh, so-and-so led this person to Christ. That's what we say. Guess what? We're all leaders. We're all leaders. Because if you're in God's army, all this stuff we're talking about applies to you, and you're leading because the people that are watching you are people that don't know God at all. So when they see you, even if you're just a foot soldier, you're in uniform, you got all the right gear, you got your weapon, you're proficient at shooting at the enemy, they're going to look at you and go, man, I want to be one of those. You're a leader, right? Okay, very good. Okay, but knowledge, getting knowledge. And we do that by studying the Word of God. I got another scripture for you, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is transforming us. He's changing our hearts, changing our minds, even changing our bodies so that we can be the best soldier, so that we are the most fit, we're the most prepared, we're the most competent, we're the most ready to do what God's called us to do. But it does take self-discipline too. But here's the cool thing. Even self-discipline, self-control is self-discipline. That is a fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to try to make yourself. Just yield to God. Just yield to Him and just say, Holy Spirit, good morning. It's a new day. What do you want me to do today? What's my priority for today? Which direction am I going today? Who am I talking to today? What task do I need to accomplish today? And if you'll do that every day, you will never miss it. Do you hear me? That doesn't mean you won't misspeak. That doesn't mean you won't make a mistake, but you won't miss God's plan. His word is a lamp unto my feet. That means it lights my very next step. And it's a light unto my path. So He gives me the tactical maneuvering, which is each individual step is a tactical move. But He's also the greatest strategic leader ever. And He's got you on the path. That's the azimuth. That's the direction. The compass azimuth that you're on of your life that's taking you to God's desired destination for you. That keeps you from, as the Bible says, don't turn to the left or to the right. Stay on the plain path. Stay on the straight and narrow, as we say. I grew up hearing that all my life. Stay on the straight and narrow. Got it. How do I do that? Well, listen to the Holy Ghost. That'll help you. Stay in God's Word. All right. So the greatest training manual on the earth is the Bible. It doesn't matter what topic it is. It doesn't matter what question you have, what challenge you have, what temptation you have, what addiction you have. It does not matter. The answer is the Word of God. That's it. It covers every subject. Whereas in the U.S. Army, there's a stack of books this big, and each one covers a subject. You got one book covers everything. It's, man, what a deal. Okay, the last thing is do. Third attribute of the leadership framework is do. And just as soldiers require some basic training before being able to be integrated into a unit and conduct missions, Christians do require some basic training too. But the beautiful thing for Christians is that the moment we surrender our life to Christ, to follow Him, the Holy Spirit literally moves inside of us. And He becomes that trainer mentor I was talking to you about, right? And my son-in-law, Wesley, calls it this, his internal GPS. You know how your GPS is in your car? You put in, hey, I'm here. I want to go to this destination. Well, for us, I'm here. I want to get to heaven at the end of my life. I want to be accepted in the Beloved and go into heaven, right? I don't want to be told, I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't want to be that guy. Right? So I set my destination as heaven. But do you know, as I'm listening to my GPS and it's in my car, it's not telling me heaven is a gajillion miles away and it's going to take you 70,000 days to get there. It doesn't say that. It says, in a quarter mile, merge left to turn left to go left to be left. That's what mine says. Right? And then it comes up again and it goes, in 500 feet, turn left. Then it goes, turn left. And it goes, proceed to the route because you didn't turn left, right? And the Holy Spirit's the same way. He says, recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. And the more we don't listen, the more recalculating there is. But if we pay attention, we won't miss our turns. We won't miss our stops. We will merge into the right lane at the right time, at the right place. Right? And that's what, so we have that instantly. We have Him. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So we don't even have to go through 10 weeks of boot camp, you know, and then go to AIT to learn how to wear our uniform, learn how to stand in formation, learn how to salute, learn how to march. No, we just follow His voice. He teaches us to march as we're marching. He says, okay, put your left foot out. Okay, now put your right foot out. Okay, now put your left foot out again. Now put your right foot out again. That's how He does it, if we'll just listen. Okay? All right, what else? Okay, so now listen. Even though we have that, we have the Holy Spirit, we have Him, that doesn't let you off the hook to do your due diligence. And here's what your due diligence is. Always be first. Be no do. Just what He said. Jesus, put that Mark 3 back up there, would you? Mark 3, 14. Next one. Oh, okay, yeah, back up one. Sorry, I didn't realize it started. Okay, that they might be with Him, that He might train them up to send them out to preach, give them the knowledge they need. That came second, and then now go to the next one. And then have the power to do it, the doing. Be, no, do. It's simple, y'all. Just be with Jesus, focus on Jesus, spend time with Jesus, be in the Word, gain knowledge from the Word. And then every day of your life, you'll increase in your intimacy with Him as you spend time with Him. You'll increase in your knowledge of Him and of kingdom matters as you read the Word. But you don't have to wait until you've gone to 3 years of Bible school. No, it's the day after you're born again, you can bump into somebody and tell them about Jesus and get them born again. Yes? You don't. It's not like that. That's the beauty of it versus with a soldier. Man, it takes us years sometimes to reach certain competency levels to where we're trusted to be a first sergeant or trusted to be a battalion commander or something. That takes like 15 years to get to that level. In the Army, to where you've proven yourself out, they say, okay, we're going to let you be a battalion commander or a battalion command sergeant major. It takes years and years. But with God, man, it just starts and you go, right? But we have to do it right. Let's be, and then let's know, and then let's do. We get hung up a lot of times. We join a new church and we're like, I want to do. Put me on a team. I want to serve. I want to do this. I want to do that. No, slow down. Slow down. Let's get to the B part and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? You might have come out of a bad place and you might need to sit under the Word for 6 months and just soak in the Word and be healed and be strengthened from something you just came. Maybe you just came from the front lines and another unit's going to the, we do this in the Army all the time in combat. One unit's fighting, and they'll fight for a certain period of time, and then that unit will do what's called a rearward passage of lines. The other unit, and man, we have this in the body of Christ too, and it's just called all of us being there for each other, right? But what happens is you get in a fight, you fight hard, you're tired, you're depleted, you need more ammo, you need rest, you got to fix something that was broken by the enemy. And so what you do is the other person goes, you go through their lines. You pass rearward, they do a forward passage of lines. They move into the position you were in and they take up the fight. You move to the back and you rest and refit. And then we just leapfrog each other. And that way we press the fight on the enemy. Press the fight on the enemy. That's why small groups and stuff like that are so important. So that you have relationships where, man, when you are just out of gas, you can surround yourself with other believers and say, man, pray for me. I just need God's strength right now. And they start speaking the Word of God in you. And they say, no, God's got you. You got this. You're going to make it. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror through Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. You got this. Yes? We need that. We need that. Yep. But that's takes all of us being